So I will call this meeting to order of the Planning Commission, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Thank you. Commissioner Solomon?
Here.
Commissioner Stapleman?
Present.
Commissioner West?
Present.
Vice Chair Wallace? The Chair Sheeler?
Present. Okay, we will begin with the public forum. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the Planning Commission on any agenda item, actually any item that is not on this evening's agenda. And it looks like we don't have any speaker slips for the public forum portion, so we'll go ahead and close the public forum portion. And I'll ask Ms. Wells, are there any amendments or adjustments to this evening's agenda?
No, there's not.
Okay, thank you very much. And for our next agenda item, will the clerk please read the next item into the record?
Yes. Item A1 is on the administrative agenda. The Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of August 22nd, 2011.
The recommendation is to approve these minutes from our meeting of August 22nd, 2011. Is there any discussion of the minutes? No discussion. Could we have a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
And we have a second. Any further discussion of the minutes?
I'll have to abstain from the vote. Thank
okay.
you.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Then that motion would carry 3-0 with one abstention. We will now move to the public hearing portion of our agenda. Will the clerk please read agenda item B into the record?
Agenda item B is a public hearing on item 11-120-GC, General Plan Conformity Determination for a Matilda Drive Property Acquisition, APN 079-553-016.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Are there any declarations that the Planning Commissioners would like to make, such as site visits or ex parte communications?
I have none, Chair.
Just want to say I am familiar with the site, but no ex parte communications. All right, let's turn that over now to the staff for their presentation, and will you be giving that presentation?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Wells.
Thank you. As you just stated, this is a public hearing, and it's for a general plan conformity determination for a future purchase or possible purchase of a parcel south of on Matilda Drive, or an extension of what would be Matilda Drive if it was to be developed. And the address is 420 Matilda Drive, and the assessor parcel number is 079-553-016. And I think I need to mention that Claudia Dado in the Neighborhood Services Redevelopment Agency helped prepare this report and sort of is a lead sponsor behind these purchases. This isn't a familiar, or it is a familiar item to you, because this is now the fourth time that you're considering a general plan conformity determination on parcels on Matilda Drive. So I think this is an important step. We're really moving into the 18 that are identified in the general plan for future purchase. And I'm going to go through those details right now. So the map that's on the screen is from the general plan, open space element, and the subject area is highlighted in the thick black boundary. It's residentially zoned land, but with an open space overlay. There's environmentally sensitive habitat areas on those 18 parcels or portions of those 18 parcels. You can see from the air photo a little bit more detail when you kind of zoom in to Elwood Mesa, the Sperling Preserve to the south, and then the Phelps Road on the right side of the picture. And then you can see the Elwood Mesa open space to the left, and that's getting pretty close to the monarch butterfly aggregation site. You can see these parcels are very connected into Elwood and into Devereaux Creek that runs through Elwood, and the floodplain of which is part of within those 18 Matilda parcels. So the parcel that we're talking about being acquired here is 079553016, and it's highlighted in yellow. And then just for history purposes, the red boxes that you see on the screen are the parcels that you previously did conformity determinations similar to this one. And then the rest of the assessor parcel numbers that are identified are the rest that maybe we'll someday be doing conformity determinations for. And then just to be complete, we have our assessor's parcel map here so that you can see the red box, which is the dash 16 parcel included here. So it's the government code that requires that we make these general plan conformity determinations, and I probably shouldn't say we, that's you. And you're making conformity determinations as to the location, the purpose, and the extent of an acquisition. And the wording of the regulation is a little more complex than that because it's the in your staff report, but it's a disposition, acquisition, vacation, or abandonment of any real property in the city that's required, that you are required to determine and report to the city council these general plan conformity determinations. So in this case, it's acquisition. And then to kind of break it down into those three pieces that is spelled out in a little more detail in your staff report and in the resolution that's attached to the staff report. So from a location perspective, the parcel is identified in figure 2-1 of the open space or the land use plan map, and it's included in an open space overlay. It's also in close proximity to the Elwood Mesa Open Space Burling Preserve, as you saw on a prior slide. And the purpose of the purchase is for public open space compatible with environmentally sensitive habitat area management, because the ESHA that's identified in the general plan on these parcels are for butterfly and raptor protection. And then finally, the extent of the purchase is 0.25 acres, and it's one of the 18 that comprise of that open space overlay. And that's it for my presentation. So it's a basic conformity determination, and I'm here to answer any questions that you might have, as well as our Planning and Environmental Services Director is here to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wells. The Planning Commission have any questions of staff at this time?
Yes, Chair Sheeler, just something quick. When do you anticipate the next opportunity to move forward with this acquisition plan will come up?
With a separate one or this one?
A separate one, the next, in other words.
I'm not aware of those, and I think that I wouldn't be able to really bring them up here because they're negotiations with landowners, but I think we're actively seeking out those 18 parcels from the city manager's office, and it's just subject to time and money and grants.
So it's an ongoing process?
Yes, and we do everything that we can to use grant funds, and we're very fortunate that we have the Coastal Resource Enhancement Fund that we've been using. So we haven't used we don't have programmed in to use general fund dollars. These are our grant funds for the purchases thus far.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I was just going to ask, did you have one, Commissioners? Maybe a little more specifically how this particular parcel is being funded, what different things you're cobbling together and sources of funding to acquire this parcel in particular.
Thank you, Chair Sheeler. This parcel would be purchased with CREF fund dollars. So it's similar to the previous three, would be using that grant monies.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Stapleman?
How is the value of the property determined?
I think I'll defer that question over to the assistant city attorney.
Acquisitions involve an appraisal, but it's also simply a negotiation between the city and the property owner. So to a certain extent, it depends on the property owner. It depends on the grant money available. Up to this point, it's been grant money, the appraisal of the property, and many factors then also go into that appraisal as well. So there's really no set formula.
But basically, you're trying to get to fair market value?
Fair market value, but you are negotiating with a specific property owner, so it's also subjective in the respect that you're dealing with an actual either person or entity, whatever the property owner is. So it's a price negotiated with them as well that they are accepting of.
Thank you,
Commissioner West.
I'm curious. Because this parcel is on the corner of the 18 proposed, I see how in the long run it will be an important part of this wildlife area and buffer zone for the creek. I'm curious, until the rest of these are acquired, how will that island be treated or developed or not at all?
Thank you, Commissioner. I think that's a very good question. So the order of which we purchase or propose to purchase these parcels is just subject to the negotiation. So sometimes these kind of island effects occur. This particular parcel is within the 100-year floodplain. So we're not trying to pick and choose parcels based on the proximity to connecting to a different one that we've purchased. It's just when the opportunity arises. But because it's within the 100-year floodplain, it's an important purchase to the city.
And all 18 parcels are in the open space mm-hmm. overlay. So their development is restricted by the general plan with relation to these 18 parcels.
I can definitely see its importance, but I guess my question was more perhaps to address what I could see as property owners close by concerns that until the entire 18 parcels were unified, what do you see would be the use in the short term? I mean, I see that it's important for, but would it just be left as is? Would it be turned into a vacant lot? Would it, what, can you tell us a little more about what would happen in the short term?
Yes. So part of the information that was disclosed in the appraisal were some pieces of rubble, some fence posts, and other things that are on the parcel. So we would clean the parcel up if we were to proceed forward. So that's part of the plan would be to, you know, to have the point surveyed and to know exactly what that 0.25 acres, where it starts and stops, and then we would clean up some of those pieces of rubble and debris.
Thank you.
And I did have one more question. As these parcels are obtained by the city of Goleta, do they come off the tax rolls?
I'm not sure the answer to that question. I'm getting a head nod. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Well, this is a hearing, and it's a public hearing, and so I'm going to open the public hearing portion now. And Madam Clerk, do we have any requests to speak?
No, Chair Sheeler.
Okay, thank you. And we really don't have an applicant presentation. The staff is here, the applicant, so we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And if there aren't any further questions, we can move into deliberations. Any Planning Commission deliberations?
Chair Sheeler, I just want to comment that I think that this is a very positive step for the city, that this is, you know, part of an ongoing process that helps us to move closer and closer to the vision that was originally created for that open space. And so I want to congratulate staff on being able to take another step forward.
I'll echo that and also add that I'm strongly in support of the 100-foot buffer. I know that exceeds what most communities set aside for areas like Devereux Creek. I think it's great not just for the citizens of Goleta, but also for the birds and the wildlife here. So I'm fully in support.
I'll just go ahead and finish by saying it's nice to see the goals of the general plan being realized in this fashion. So we have a recommendation to adopt this resolution of the Planning Commission. Madam Clerk, would you like to please read that recommendation for us?
Yes. The recommendation is to adopt Resolution 11, next in line number, entitled A Resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Goleta, California, reporting that the acquisition of Assessor Parcel Number 079-553-016 is in conformance with the Goleta General Plan Coastal Land Use Plan pursuant to Section 65402 of the Government Code.
Thank you. Could we have a motion, please?
Yes, I'll make the motion, Chair.
I'll second. Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Solomon and a second by Commissioner Stapleman. Any further discussion of this item? No further discussion. We will now vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Passes 4-0. Thank you. Okay, we'll now move to item C, which is the director's report. Mr. Chase.
Thank you. Good evening, members. It's throughout the course of a day, it's oftentimes interesting to step out of City Hall and step back in and see what is in front of you on your chair. What I'm going to read into the record was lovingly placed by my staff member, Cindy Moore, senior planner, regarding the Green Committee stakeholder process for ultimately a green building program. Through the South Coast Energy Efficiency Partnership, the city competed for and was awarded grant funding in support of a California Public Utility Commission activity grant. One of those programs was to fund the City of Goleta's development of a green building program, another implementation measure of the city's general plan. The city, with the assistance of a consultant, Global Green USA, is now beginning a process to establish a framework that will address energy efficiency performance and sustainability. So rather than just talking about energy efficiency, let's talk about performance and new construction and rehabilitation and revitalizing parts of our town. And let's talk about sustainability practices. This could very well be broad enough to touch any municipal development, goals of the city, clearly commercial and industrial development, and certainly residential development. There is a stakeholder working group. It is called the Green Ribbon Committee. It will meet four times over the next few months. In fact, the very first meeting is in a couple days. That Green Ribbon Committee includes a cross-section of community stakeholders. Of course, we've got some folks from the development industry that build the buildings here. But of equal interest, we have nonprofit groups, professional associations, Goleta residents at large, the design community, architects, designers, a special district, water district, and what I'm really proud about, we also have a local high school student on board. The meetings will be conducted in a focus group format, and it will zero in on such questions or issues, such as what are the types of projects that would be expected or required to participate? Real threshold issue there. In terms of participation, would the threshold be based on square footage, or would it be based on the number of units or a particular project type? It's logical to think that any municipal structure would clearly be eligible for this, but what about residential structures? Should a small home remodel be part of this or not? So there are some threshold issues. A rating system or other criteria to be used. We're all familiar with the gold, platinum, silver of LEEDs. Maybe we have green, yellow, and red. Who knows? Incentives, not just from the city, but also from the various public utilities that make up the Goleta Valley. Of course, a verification procedure and a tracking and reporting procedure. Of interest to you, in February of 2012, boy, that's coming up. February of 2012. In February of 2012, there will be a joint public study session held by the Planning Commission and the City Council. And that will be to gain input and direction for further refinement by the stakeholder group and by staff within public meetings on the adoption of some rulemaking or some guidelines. by the Planning Commission, City Council, later next year. So I did want you to know that this is out there. It's coming. You will see it jointly with the City Council. Second item up, the West Star mixed-use project draft environmental impact report was released to the public late last week. This is the 20-plus acre piece of property. It's on the north side of Hollister Avenue, just west of Stork Road. Has a little bit more than 90,000 square feet of proposed commercial space. It has a little bit more than 260 apartments in a complex, several live-work units, a whole bunch of infrastructure to support that development, including some undergrounding, significant undergrounding of overhead poles and wires, and a number of other components to it. I wanted you to know that this draft environmental impact report is available at the library. It's available at the City Hall. We're trying to get it on our website. Putting a three-volume environmental impact report on our website, it's been quite a task late last week, including today. And we certainly have small CDs available at a nominal purchase if anyone wants to take one with them. That's all the director has this evening, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Item D, Planning Commission comments. Any comments from the planning commissioners this evening? No comments? Then I will ask for a motion to adjourn this evening's meeting. Could I have a motion, please?
Move to adjourn.
The motion will be to adjourn to the special joint City Council Planning Commission meeting.
Okay.
Move to adjourn to the special meeting.
All right, I'll second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None? Any discussion? Okay, that ends the Planning Commission meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, October 24, 2011. We're now going to take a short break and reconvene with the City Council for the joint workshop on the transportation element. So see you shortly.